You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. Kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Welcome, everyone, once again to Informus Obscurum for Metal Mondays on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I am your host, a voice in the abyss, and I'm here to guide you through the darkness. Tonight, we're going to guide through the darkness of winter and the darkness of Christmas time. We're going to go on a black metal Christmas adventure tonight. Pretty much everything I have lined up for you is all black metal or black metal adjacent, some variation of that form. Tis the season for snow and despair, so I thought, yeah, let's reflect that. We're going to have some popular, some more obscure, some new, and some old. I haven't really done a deep dive into black metal before, especially some of the older stuff. So lots of this is new for me. You might already know some little tidbits of knowledge about these bands. It's new to me. So we're going to take a little journey. So that first song we heard was Eradication Instincts Defined by Dimmu Borgir, Norwegian symphonic black metal band. I always like listening to that song during the first snowfall. It just gets me in the mood of winter and snowy. It's great. We'll jump right back in. We've got two more tracks coming up from that same album, the 2003 album Death Cult Armageddon. Listen to the next one, which is Progenies of the Great Apocalypse.
The battle. Yes, man.
I just love how that last track ends. Like that singer, I think that's Shagrath, or Silent Owls, I forget who. It sounds like he's trying to cough up a frog. It's cool and silly at the same time. It's over the top. It's kind of their MO now. I feel like Dimmu Borgir used to be like a more, you know, stern-faced, serious black metal band when they first came on the scene. But now, I don't know, more commercialized. So those tracks we just listened to, that one we just heard was, this is in Norwegian, so bear with me. Alle Helgens Dod I Helvids Reich. And then the one before that was, of course, Progenies of the Great Apocalypse, which was the standout single from that album, Death Cult Armageddon, in 2003. So Dimmu Borgir from Norway, kind of following in the footsteps of their black metal predecessors. This album was recorded with the Prague Philharmonic, providing the background orchestra. I really like this album. It's one of my favorite winter albums. Like I said, I like that Eradication Instincts Defined. It's this, like, snow on window panes. It's cold, dark. You know, I find that the orchestra works really well with black metal. It gives it more of this gothic vibe, kind of, I wouldn't quite say Nosferatu-esque vibe, but kind of, you know, everything's like dark blues and blacks and chilly. The clean vocals in there were performed by the then bass player ICS Vortex. I wasn't able to find any information on this, but I feel like he had some professional training in opera singing or something, because it's like fantastic clean vocals. Once again, like a little corny, little cheesy, but man, it's a good sound. And the corniness, I don't know, it's a part of metal. I feel like this album came out, you know, this was an era where black metal began, 2000s, so it began to parody itself a little bit, or, you know, the true cult, you know, the guys who took it really seriously were in prison or dead, and it was becoming more commercialized. I don't know that much about the history, the evolution of black metal over the decades, but this was definitely, a much more commercially accessible album. I first heard Progenies of the Great Apocalypse on the MTV2 released this Headbangers Ball compilation album, Headbangers Ball Volume 2. That helped me get into a lot of metal when I was a teenager. I was 14 years old, something like that. Even if it was just the basic accessible stuff, you know, your Slipknot, your Korn, Lamb of God, even stuff Panasonic Youth, that was Dillinger Escape Plan, and then some other stuff that I didn't like so much, you know, Atreyu, Him, all that, you know, screamo stuff. Anyways, I digress. That's where I found that one track, and I was like, I really like this. It was becoming more commercialized, much to the chagrin of the true cult followers. Next up, I did some listening in preparation for this black metal show. I'd always heard of Dark Throne. I had never listened to any of it. And so I listened to some of these top recommendations, something about the Northern Darkness, I forget what the album was. But then I checked out Transylvanian Hunger, the album cover that we all know with the guys screaming, looks like it's Xerox, we'll talk more about that later. This album is great. Holy cow, this is so good. So we're going to start off with the title track, Transylvanian Hunger, and then dive into Graven Takahaimen's Cellar after that. Let's take a listen.
Ah!
You're listening to Informus Obscurum on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I was remembering, I forgot to mention in the intro, as you may or may not be aware, black metal has a Nazi problem, with some bands even in a subgenre known as NSBM or National Socialist Black Metal. I haven't done extensive research into the background of all these bands, so sorry in advance if I play an artist who are just a bunch of pieces of shit. I don't think many of them, that, as far as I know, none of these that I'm playing tonight are hardcore into that. They might be affiliated with these bands, I don't know. So, like I said. Anyways, moving on. Dark Throne. We just heard those two tracks, Transylvanian Hunger, the title track from the same album, and what's that other one called? The second one we just heard, Graven Takahaimen Cellar. I don't know, Norwegian again, Norwegian black metal band. One of the heavyweights of the second wave of black metal. So I'd known about Dark Throne for years, you know, since high school, but it just didn't intrigue me, you know, I don't know, I wanted to hear verse-chorus songs, you know, the popular, the Hot Topic kind of metal. But I did some listening of this one. So even though, generally speaking, people put the album Ablaze in the Northern Sky as their best album, it seems, from my preliminary research, I listened to that one, it didn't do much for me. Then I listened to Transylvanian Hunger. Oh man, I'd seen this t-shirt before, and it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. But this one is great. It blew me away. When I first started listening to the album, I even exclaimed out loud to myself, like, wow, this production is absolutely terrible. Like, it's bad. It sounds like they recorded it in a dumpster or something like that. But with that being said, once I got a few minutes in, you know, a track or two, or even just into the first track, I really started to enjoy the sound, as if it started to make more sense to me. And I don't know, it became cozy, almost the way that film cameras were used, like for 80s slashers, that kind of thing. There's that kind of Vaseline on the lens. There's something that lends itself to the overall aesthetic or sound. But this poor production is almost even a meme at this point, that black metal enjoyers, like the true cult, like the people who only listen to black metal, they actually seek out, it seems, the worst production imaginable, and like to watch videos in 240p, like the worst production, the better it is, the more obscure it is, you know. From what I can tell, that Dark Throne helped to lay the groundwork for an explosion of black metal bands coming out like in the 90s and after the 90s. Since 1993, it's just been these two guys making music together, Fenriz and Nocturno Culto. Love all the monikers that they have in black metal bands. It's so much fun. I'm excited to go down the rabbit hole. This album really stuck with me, and from what I understand, this is just about like the album art and the overall themes, or the ideology of black metal. It was, and some bands still are, intensely anti-commercial, in a similar way that like punk rock was when it initially came on the scene. Like, I don't know if, because I think in early punk, it was, if you recorded an album even, like, that was seen as not punk rock, because, like, now you're looking to market it. I don't know if black metal was that intense. I feel like I should read a book about this. Black metal had that same kind of ideology. And that's why there were so many black metal album covers that just looked like they're Xeroxed photos, because they were. And then to market yourself in any tangible way, and to try to become famous, was antithetical to this ideology. Right, we're going to go to something a bit more modern now, a band from France. This is Deathspell Omega. I think the album's from 2010. We're going to play three tracks. The first two tracks, like the intro, goes into the second one. And then, from Paracletus, we'll start off with Epiclesis 1. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
we just heard some tracks from Deathspell Omega from their 2010 album Paracletus. Those tracks were Epiclesis 1, Wings of Predation, and then followed up with Phosphine for the last track. I'd heard about this band for a little while. It didn't really make sense to me until I did my research for my black metal show this month here. I did a bit of reading, and man, this is a strange band. Highly philosophical and experimental in nature. They have no official website, no social media, rarely provide interviews, and have never even performed a live show. I don't even know if they have physical media. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. But and one thing I saw, they were even critical of the early black metal scene. But like, what's more black metal than not, like, being of this world? You know, I don't know. The French, I found, the more I've consumed their art, the French are wild. They are out there. Some may say leagues ahead of us. Or just in a completely different plane of existence, the way they experience life and humanity. I don't know. I read this article, this blog. I think it was an interview that they did. And the band works as a collective and has different levels of circles, with the inner circle being all French and Bataillon. I don't know what Bataillon that means. I think he's a writer, or he or she, I don't know. Or just the belief system. But this inner circle acts as the creative core and source of music and lyrics. They said their creative space thrives in contradictory philosophies within the collective, but the inner circle claims to be completely above earthly politics. So you might have someone who's like far left and far right in the same band, and I guess they're creating out of that conflict that arises. I mean, I'm sure at some point they have to kick people out when they're, I don't know, just too crazy. I have no idea. But strange, I mean, I guess that, yeah, you can make a lot of cool art doing, when there's weird stuff going on between people. Anyways. All right, we're going to move on to some, you can call it lighter black metal. Another band from the second wave, Immortal, fronted up by Abbat. And then we're going to hear some Black and Roll, which is kind of like the more commercialized black metal, the kind that's more like rock and roll. So we're going to hear Abbat with his solo project, and then Satyricon after that. But we're going to start off with Immortal, a track from the album The Sons of Northern Darkness, Within the Dark Mind.